people think that creating content has to be like this whole production, that you have to go get your makeup done and go get a big ring light and get a fancy camera and all the above. And you can literally just use your phone in a nice window and still communicate the same message and still reach the same people. I think that's a big misconception when it comes to creating content. Like, it should be fun.
Hey everyone, it's Haley from Team Teachable. I'm really excited to have Jordan Guyton on the show today, founder and CEO of Vera Jean Media. Jordan Guyton is a content strategist and TV producer living in Brooklyn, New York. With over 10 years of experience in the entertainment industry, her love for content is indescribable. In the spring of 2020, Jordan launched Vera Jean Media, specializing in production, content strategy, and social media marketing. She began teaching other female entrepreneurs her strategy to audience growth and increase revenue. 1 year later, she's generated six figures in her business and grown her Instagram audience to 30,000. Her true passion is helping women showcase their true authentic self through their content to make more money.
Welcome to Everything is Teachable, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to learn how everyday creators have transformed their skills and passions into online courses and businesses.
If you've ever wanted to know what it takes to unlock social media success and nail content creation, this is one episode you won't want to miss. Let's say hi to Jordan. Jordan, thank you so, so much for joining me. I am so happy that you are one of our guests right now. I have been so looking forward to this all week long. How are you doing today?
I am freaking pumped. I'm excited. I always love your energy and I love the Teachable family. So any opportunity that I have to do anything, I'm like, yes, please. So I'm excited.
Thank you for saying that. We're seriously so, like, you have been such an amazing partner to Teachable. You're doing so many amazing things and we're just really happy you're on the platform. So let's go ahead and jump right in. I would love to hear more about your entrepreneurial journey. So before you started your own business, what were you doing before and what motivated you to kind of get going? I know that's a loaded question, so we can just take it piece by piece, but kind of talk about your early days.
Sure. When I graduated college or high school back in 2010, the University of Oklahoma, I ended up getting my first job at the Maury Show. So all the DNA, baby mama drama, you are not the father. That was my life for a nice 3 years. So I started in production. I started in TV. That's where my hands have been. That's where I've been immersed in for the past 10 years. So from producing to casting, I was in front of the camera for a while. In 2019, I sold a web series that I co-created, a comedic web series, to BET Digital. So always been in the content realm of things. I love entertaining. I love making people laugh. But as I thought I was on the road to being like my own Issa Rae or Shonda Rhimes, if you will, after selling a show, the pandemic hit. And I found myself, like a lot of creators and people in production, on unemployment, because everything shut down. I'm sure not just creators, everybody. We're all kind of stuck. So because of that, I'm not one to be idle for very long. Those of you that are not familiar with production, a lot of shows go into hiatus over the summer and you can claim unemployment or you can work, you know? And when I was back in my production days, I always worked every summer. And so this time was no different, right? I got tired of just kind of sitting around, which the pandemic is very scary, but I also knew that I needed to make money, right? And so I started my business in the midst of the pandemic, just helping women create stuff for social media, creating graphics, newsletters, like whatever got me a check. And once I realized that people were paying me for my expertise and paying me to do those things, I was like, okay, I'm onto something. So from there, I hired a business coach and kind of got the lay of the land of just business in general, because I didn't go to school for it. And I still wanted to at least know, you know, what profit and loss was. And I did. And it kind of just snowballed after that.
Yeah. And I really would love to know, kind of, when you started this new venture and you're just kind of like, okay, I need to figure something out for myself. Like you said, you're not one to stop working, but you wanted to find like a new route for yourself. What was really the biggest motivation for you to keep going, even when you were experiencing maybe some pitfalls, some roadblocks, and all of that?
I think what has always kept me going just through life and just everything is just knowing that I can, you know, knowing that I'm favored, knowing that I'm blessed, knowing that whatever opportunity comes my way, I have to seize it. And so I think just being in that headspace, and as I started serving women and learning that I was helping them and serving them, I really started to wrap my mind around how important it is just to serve one another. And I think that's really what's gotten me like really head over heels for doing what I'm doing, because it was switching from this feeling of like selling all the time, you know, buy this, buy that. But I realized, and what kept me going was that, hey, I have more people to serve. Like, I have more women to help start their business. I have more women that are shy and need to be on camera. Like, how can I communicate this, and what do I need to do now to start serving?
Absolutely. I mean, that is such amazing motivation right there. And I know you have definitely inspired me in terms of getting on camera. In my day-to-day role, there are some times where I have to go live and it's terrifying still, but you've given me a lot of confidence to just go for it. And I know I'm not alone in that sentiment at all. So thank you for that. So let's go ahead, and I really want to jump into online courses and when you started thinking about bringing them into your business. So your Teachable School is Jordan Guyton Content Academy. What was the motivation behind that? And I'd love to hear some of the aspects of how it made a huge difference in your business.
Sure. So, I mean, before the pandemic, I knew that I wanted to create courses. I just didn't know like how to do any of it. I had seen an ad from Danielle Leslie, and I was like, oh my gosh, who is this? Like, she looks like me. This is so cool. I'm going to go to this webinar. I don't even know what a webinar is. This is all pre-pandemic. And I attended one of her, the Course from Scratch one, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. I need to figure out how to create. I don't know what I'm making course on. I don't know. She's talking about these people making crazy money. Like, what's the deal? How are we doing this, right? And I eventually, you can look at my journals from back in the day, like, eventually I was going to get around to creating a course. Eventually I was going to make something for people that wanted to sell a show, or people that wanted to get into production, or whatever the case is. I knew that I wanted that stream of income. I knew that I wanted to package my ex. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. And when I announced my business on Facebook, a friend of mine, Kayvana, we did improv class together back when I moved to New York like years ago. And she was like, hey girl, if you're ever interested in making extra money, like, I work for Teachable, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, what's that? And then she told me what Teachable was. And I was like, oh, well, and this is now in the pandemic, right? Because I had started my business. And I was like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing over here. Let's try something else and try to add another stream of income, or figure out what this word passive means or whatever, and try to incorporate this stream into my business. And so I tried my first course. It's probably still up there. It's trash, but it was an effort and I did my best. I don't even know if anyone bought it. Maybe four or five people bought it. It was like $97. It was called Level Up Your Live. It was all about going live. And yeah, it was no easy feat. The easiest part was creating the course, but I think a lot of times as like business owners or entrepreneurs, like we've painted this picture for other entrepreneurs that it's just so easy, right? That we can just throw up a product, we can just throw up our course, and then boom, it just flies off the shelf. And it doesn't work like that. And I think that once I introduced my courses at the very beginning last year, I had to learn that like the hard way. I had to learn that like you have to do, it's not passive. Like, you have to do a little work in the beginning for it to eventually run on autopilot. So I'm glad that I did. Now my courses are doing a lot better, that I've channeled my energy into it. I think my last cohort was a $20,000 launch. And then I also did a recent Reels workshop. And so I did that live, but now I have the replay available. And I think that's been doing, you know, a couple thousand. So that's when the passively starts happening. But I had to do a lot of work before, you know, this growth started happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that's so important that, you know, we make sure we tell newer creators, is that it's not an overnight success. And that's a good thing. You know, you learn so many lessons along the way. And just like with your first course, that is absolutely not a failure. If only a few people bought it, like that's a, first of all, people still bought it. And second of all, you learned so many things that brought you to a $20,000 launch. That is incredible. So, you know, one thing that I think people have a lot of trouble with is really narrowing down their course topic idea. So what was kind of the push to get you to pick this specific topic for your different courses?
Yeah, that it is tough to pick a specific thing. I think what has helped me is just asking my audience, knowing my audience, keeping a pulse on my audience, because a lot of times we think that our course idea is what our audience wants, and 9 times out of 10, it's not. So it's really important. I learned it's really important to just ask them what they want to see, give them the opportunity to bring input to your course, because then when it's time to sell, they have that feeling as though they contributed to the evolution of it or the building of it. So I think that it's really important, you know, to get a pulse on your industry, a pulse on your particular audience, you know, just because the industry might be trending some way, everybody's audience is different. So really doing that research, you know, social media, you can do like market research, like Google Forms, you can ask your audience on Facebook or hop into some Facebook groups, but just doing that research before, because what is tough is like creating something and spending all the time in front of the camera and, you know, ready, set, go. And then you put it out there and you did the whole thing and it didn't sell because you didn't do the research. So I think, yeah, it's really important to kind of do your due diligence at first.
Definitely. I think something else a lot of people, at least on our team, has kind of passed along as a really great tip is if there is a specific question that you find your audience keeps asking you about, that's usually a pretty good indicator that that would be a good online course to create.
I agree. That's what I did with the Reel Talk, the Reels workshop. My Reels have been going pretty viral and people were asking me so many questions. And I did a $97 workshop with a $97 replay and 120 people were ready for it. So, and they all were asking that question. So you're absolutely right about that.
That's awesome. So something that I'm really curious to hear from you, and this can be specifically to you or maybe in general of being an entrepreneur, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about what you do for a living and your business?
I mean, I briefly touched on this as far as like people, the biggest misconception is that like I just hop on live, I smile, I get excited, I get hyped up, and then I'm just like, okay, bye, and then I make thousands of dollars. It doesn't, like, if y'all could see, if I wish my husband was on this interview with you and he would tell you all the times I've cried my eyes out, cried. Like one person bought my first cohort in my group coaching program, hysterical. I was like, I'm never doing this again. This sucks. This is hard. What am I doing? People think that creating content has to be like this whole production, that you have to go get your makeup done and go get a big ring light and get a fancy camera and all the above. And you can literally just use your phone in a nice window and still communicate the same message and still reach the same people. I think that's a big misconception when it comes to creating content. Like, it should be fun. That everyone's making money. I think I don't think that's true, because the people that you'd be thinking making money and making no money and they're asking you for advice. So I think that's a big misconception. I think that it's a big misconception that like it's really lonely. It is and it can be. But you have to be intentional about your community, right? So you have to be intentional in seeking out people that you want to surround yourself with. A lot of times they're not going to just pop out of the sky or pop into your DMs or whatever the case is. You have to intentionally seek out your virtual besties or your people in person that are your community. It does not have to be lonely. Entrepreneurship does not have to be done alone. I think that's a big one. So I hope that answered your question.
Oh, definitely. And I really appreciate you bringing up, you know, community and finding your people online. It is so important. And it's a known fact that entrepreneurs experience higher levels of mental health conditions, which we'll get into later. But that's really important to just find your go-to group to support you and uplift each other. So I think that's really, really important. So you mentioned something just a little bit ago about how content creation doesn't have to involve so much makeup, all the fancy equipment, and you mentioned you can do it with your phone. I think that video is something that is so, I mean, now that we've seen the news with Instagram transitioning to prioritizing video more, that's just going to be something that's going to come up more and more. What are some kind of go-to video tips that you like to use that you think that have shown through in your marketing efforts?
I mean, I think what I always teach my students in my audience is, you know, to create an on-camera ritual. So something that you do before you hop on camera, whether it's listening to your favorite song or, I don't know, praying, meditating, whatever gets you like in the mood to show up. Maybe you're giving yourself a pep talk. Maybe you have an alter ego, like whatever the case is, right? You do that for you so that your body knows like, hey, I'm about to be in a slightly uncomfortable position, but you know, I've already been warmed up to do so. So I think that's really helpful. I think as an entrepreneur, as creators, we're timid about asking for the sale. So I think that it's really important to remember after giving all of that value, after hopping on and pouring your heart out and telling your story and talking all about how you can help these people, actually offering your services or asking for the sale, I think is super, super, super important, because if people don't know that they can work with you, how can they hire you? So just getting comfortable with that, getting comfortable with, you know, saying your services or your price, even if that's something that you do. But I think that, you know, those are super, super important, because that sets the tone, right, before you hop in. It sets your energy, whatever your energy levels, you know, your best energy levels are. And then two, your videos are now converting, because people are figuring out, again, how do they spend money with you? They get you from the top of the personality to the end of the pocket. And, you know, we get that money. So I think those are some tips. For sure.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a perfect segue to kind of transition more into creating reels on Instagram, which I know has been your bread and butter lately. What are some of the biggest takeaways that you've learned from consistently creating reels? And also, if you have any great tips or advice that you'd share with other creators who are maybe, you know, getting and feeling a little bit more stuck with being consistent and showing up more on video.
When I did my first reel, it took me 2.5 hours. It was hard. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I needed to point or dance or figure it out, right? And one of the questions that I asked in the Reel Talk workshop, I did my first reel in October. And in the 8-month span, I had asked my attendees, how many reels do they think that I posted in 8 months? And some of them said 100, another one said 10 billion, someone else said 40, someone else said 80. And the truth is, I posted 31 reels in 8 months. That's it.
Wow.
One to two reels a week. I got consistent with that. I just said, if I can do one, like if I can just do one, I could show up and point. That's all I do. I don't Cardi B nothing. I don't dance. I don't boogie. I don't do none of that. My rhythm, I'm still working through that. And I just do what's comfortable for myself. I really try to encourage you being the secret sauce. You are the secret sauce to your viral reels or to your reels that sell or to your reels that cater to your audience. You are the secret sauce. So I think that once you stop focusing on trying to do it exactly how she did it and just be inspired by how she did it and do it your way, I think that makes the biggest difference, is you being the secret sauce.
Definitely. And wow, I definitely thought that you had created more than just 31 reels, which is incredible. And I think that's so important for people to hear that you don't have to get into making 7 reels a week right off the bat. It's something that you can easily transition into. And as long as you're somewhat showing up, then it's fine. You can take those baby steps to getting to that point eventually. And I'm speaking to myself a little bit here. You don't have to think of the end result so quickly. You can just worry about the process, taking the small actionable steps that are the most realistic. So I think that is super valuable for people to know.
Start where you are. Start exactly where you are. Just like in business, right? Like we always look at someone's year 5 and we're still in day five and we're like, right. Oh my gosh, why haven't I had 100K a month? And it's like, just give it time. Stay where you are, meet yourself where you are, you know, and go from there. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon for sure.
Absolutely. And going back to kind of, if we're expanding out, just looking at social media in general, you've experienced so much growth on social media, especially on Instagram, going upwards of 30,000 followers in a little less than a year, which is amazing. I find that fellow creators do have a hard time showing up on social media, whether that's, you know, going back to content creation. So what advice would you have for fellow creators who feel really frustrated and, you know, burnt out by the pressure to always be on with social media and constant content creation?
My first piece of advice would be to take a break, right? If you're feeling like that, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling defeated, if you're feeling like stuck in this cycle, definitely like unplug and take a break. Listen to your body. It can be a beast, right? It can be noisy. So I think that's the first thing. And when you're ready, come back. It's not going anywhere. People ain't going anywhere. If they didn't follow you, there's 7 billion people on Instagram. It's okay. The second thing I think would be really to get clarity on two things, right? What you are ingesting on social media. So like, who are you following? Whose feeds, you know, are they pouring into you or are they draining you, right? And go on an unfollowing spree. You don't have to follow everyone that follows you. Doesn't matter if you went to kindergarten with them, like you don't have to. It's your page, it's your energy. I think that's the first thing. And then secondly, get clear on why you're using social, right? So are you using social media because everyone's doing it? Are you using social media to grow your business? Are you using social media to connect with your friends from high school? Like, being really clear on that first and foremost positions you to show up in a way that is authentic to why you're there. So if you are doing social media because everyone's doing it, your energy is going to be off because you don't want to be there. So your content's going to suffer. We're going to feel like you don't want to be there. So your sales are going to suffer. So just being clear about that first before you go head on to like trying to tackle this whole big beast. And then also don't be afraid to get help. Like, don't be afraid to get help with your social media. Like I said, I work with women who have felt overwhelmed. You know, having structure is such a game changer in this online space. But I think just like we need coaches for business, or we need coaches for mindset, or we need coaches for leadership, or whatever the case is, if social media is something that is overwhelming to you, there are plenty of us out here at all different price points ready to assist and get you from feeling that way. Because, social media is meant to be social. You can sell, you can connect, but I don't ever want it to feel draining or overwhelming, or it will. You'll have days where you're like, damn, I gotta post again. 100%. I feel like that. Yep. I'm like, bro, yep. Like, seriously. But keep a couple posts in the holster and don't be afraid to repurpose old content. So on those days where you're like, I'm not trying to do my eyebrows or do my edges or none of the things, go back about a year, find out what content worked, and just repost the same. Like, no one cares. Just post.
Right. Yeah. And not to mention, people will probably forget that they even saw it to begin with. And if it worked the first time, it's going to work the second time.
100 trillion percent. I agree.
Let's do a little blast to the past for a second. So I'm curious to know, if you were starting an online business today, what would you do in the first month or two?
I would just get clear on like who you serve, get clear on how you want to show up online, who you want to be known for, like what you want to be known for, what are you the expert in. I think it's really clear. I mean, I think it's really important to be clear on that. Know that it will evolve, know that it will change, all the above. But if you think that you are going to be a social media manager, but then you also want to be a nail tech, like that's very hard. It's very hard to communicate that on social media at the same time. So just getting very clear on what you're going to be known for in this social capital space, first and foremost. I think that in the first month or two, invest in yourself. So a coach could be an assistant. If you don't need a coach at that time, it could be a course. It could be a workshop. you don't know what you don't know. So I would say invest in yourself and learn from people who are where you want to be. So not because you think they're awesome or they're funny or you love their personality. Are they where you want to be? Are they doing what you want to do? I think that's really important when investing your money. And know that it's not easy. Like, this is not for the faint of heart. It's not like stick a toe in. It's like, it's all or nothing. And you have to make sure that you have that, like, there's no plan B attitude. There's nothing after this. Like, it's going to suck. It's going to be hard. There's going to be months where, you know, your pockets are low, but then there's going to be months where the money's popping. And you have to be able to ride out both of those waves. So I think in the first month or two, it's just really important to make that commitment to yourself that you're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the generational wealth. You're in it to provide a better life for your family. You're in it for the freedom to work anywhere. You're in it for whatever your reasoning is. But know that and make that commitment before you decide to do any of this or waste money or go crazy, because you'll get close. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, having that kind of guiding light and having those motivations are really, really important to nail down before you take that major step, I think. And I'm really curious to know, once you started getting into online courses, well, before, you know, Kayvana told you about them, are there any other creators who are on Teachable that kind of inspired you to get going?
I like Nicole Walters a lot. I just like her as a person and just her energy and her brand a lot. So yep. she had, I believe, 1K for a day or something like that on there. Other Teachable creatives, I think those are the only two that I knew. But again, I didn't really know that like Teachable was a thing. I just knew they created courses. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't know like platforms or nothing. Like, I didn't know anything. And I think that once I got immersed in this Teachable family, you start to see how much they care about the creators. And I think that's what was really beautiful in my course journey and just trying to figure out and not knowing like where to go. A lot of my clients or students or people in like my free communities are always like, oh, I want to do it. I want to package my expertise. And like, that was me at one point, right? I didn't know. So if I can, I don't even know what the question was, Haley, but if I could be the one that points people into that direction of like a platform that, or a creator that like cares and is supported, I think it wasn't even the people that I liked. It was nobody that I liked. It was the platform itself that made me fall in love even more with creating courses. It was Katie who worked with me when I first started my course. It's Soph now, mm-hmm. who's like helping me through this. It's you. It's who's the guy that I did the live interview with?
Keith.
It's Keith. Like, it's people like that it's like, it wasn't for me. It wasn't about seeing other creators. It was the experience from the moment that I, Kayvana, the moment that I came into contact with the platform was, it wasn't about who I'd seen before. It was the experience that I had once I got here.
Oh, absolutely. I think that one of my personal favorite things about my role is getting to work with the amazing people that are on the team. We are so, so inspired and so driven to help our creators in the best way we can to serve them. And I'm just glad to hear you say that. Like, that is so validating for everyone on the team to hear that the work that everyone puts in is making a difference in your life. So
definitely.
Earlier, you had mentioned how other creators can kind of take that step to kind of protect their energy and to have those realizations of, okay, when I'm starting to feel burnt out, here's what I should do. But I'm curious to know how you personally practice self-care as a business owner.
It's a tough one. I think the way that I practice self-care is by prioritizing it. So, you know, Fridays, I do not work. That is my creative day, whatever that might look like for me. And it's not necessarily like creating content. Sundays is when I do that, Sunday nights, but it's more so being creative in journaling or being creative in reading or being creative in whatever, like whatever that looks like for me, but it's also my healing day as well. So I left my mom back in February, and I initially it was just like creative, like do whatever you want, but I also use that as a day to just heal, whether I schedule therapy on Fridays or I go get a massage or I go get a pedicure. I make sure intentionally that I have at least that one thing, whatever that might look like to me on that Friday, that feels like healing or creativity to me. So I think, you know, the short answer of practicing self-care is prioritizing it and really setting those boundaries. I don't take client calls. I don't communicate in my communities on Fridays. All my students know that. If I'm on Instagram, it's not for my business. It could be like to look at my ice cream or my margarita. And that's simply what it is. But you have to prioritize it, and you have to set boundaries around it so that it's protected and it's sacred to you.
Right. And how can fellow business owners, especially those who maybe are just getting started, how can they best set boundaries without maybe, you know, I feel like overall setting boundaries can maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable for mm-hmm. some people. So what are some ways that people can set boundaries and not feel uncomfortable around it and rather feel empowered?
I think it's just shifting that mindset, right? Of it feeling uncomfortable to knowing that, like you said, being empowered, but also knowing that these boundaries are not for them. It's for myself. It's to protect myself, protect my heart, protect my energy. So there's nothing against you. There's nothing against whomever I'm setting boundaries against. It's for yourself. And they only work, boundaries only work if you enforce them. So you can say that your clients can't call you after 5 or that you're not doing any social media done for you content, but then someone comes across and you're like, oh, I'll just do it this once. There goes your boundary, right? So you have to be the one that's also enforcing these things, because if you're not, that's when people start to get offended. That's when people are like, oh, well, I thought you said you weren't doing any done for you content, you know, and that's your fault. So really just enforcing those things, making that mind shift to know that it's to protect you, it's to make you better, it's to grow your business. It's so that you can pour into yourself or pour into your loved ones. But yeah, you have to shift that. It's boundaries are good. Boundaries are blessings. Boundaries are, you need them, especially as a business owner.
Definitely. And especially if the vast majority of your business is happening online, I feel like it's way easier for those to be crossed virtually.
Girl. Yes, you are right. You are right. I agree.
Well, this has been just an amazing conversation. I am just so grateful to have you on the show. And I would love to know and let everyone who's listening know where people can connect with you or learn more about what you have to offer.
Sure. So I'm definitely an Instagram girl. So you can connect with me on Instagram at Jordan Guyton. And you can also visit my website, jordanguyton.com. I have a group coaching program hosted through Teachable called the Courageous Content Academy. So for women entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs that are service-based businesses, on how to create profitable content to sell your offers and your services. So you can find me on Teachable too. Yeah, that's all the things. I have a Facebook group too, but it's hard to explain, and you can find it through my Instagram. So definitely check me out on Instagram.
Perfect. And before we hop off, do you have any last words of wisdom or inspiration for our listeners?
I think some inspiration and wisdom could be that there's somebody tied to your story. So there's somebody tied to whatever you've been keeping in, or that draft that has been sitting on unpublished, or your experience or your expert, like someone's waiting for that and someone's tied to that. And the longer that you don't share your gifts or share your expertise or share your service, that's another day delayed that somebody doesn't get free. So it's so important just to, I know it's scary. I know that sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable, or maybe we might feel like, you know, we're not quite experts. Just do it. And you'd be surprised and amazed by who was waiting for you to do that. So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, those are beautiful parting words. Jordan, thank you so, so much. And I'm so excited and proud of you for everything that you're doing. And I just cannot wait to see what you do next.
Thank you. was freaking awesome. Y'all know I love you. Yes. So thank you for having me.
This podcast is produced by Teachable, your go-to platform for course creation. Since 2014, we've helped more than 100,000 creators earn over $1 billion from online courses and coaching products. How do we do it? By managing all the logistics, like coding and payment processing, to make it easier than ever for you to share your knowledge online. To learn more, visit teachable.com.